Welcome. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started, and there's some seats on this side. We have a lot to fit in our session today, and we're thrilled to have you here. On behalf of State Street, Kelly and myself, we're thrilled to have your participation. We'll start with a workshop, and we'll have a conversation at the close, and they're encouraging conversations for you to be a part of. So we hope you get the most out of the 60 minutes. One of my favorite quotes is from Margaret Thatcher, and it relates well to what we're talking about today. Power is like being a lady. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. So what is power? Well, going to a common denominator, let's start with the dictionary. There's really two primary definitions of what power is. Power is the ability to do something or act in a particular way. Power is also the capacity or the ability to influence something or change the course of actions. So in essence, when you're using power, you are trying to influence or change the behavior of something with the objective of making something happen for yourself or for someone else. How many in this room have power? Don't be so modest. You all have power. All of us have power within us. What the underlying difference is about what kind of power and how you use it. There are lots of different ways that power can manifest itself, and I think throughout your time at this conference today, you've seen that firsthand, and you've been able to experience it in your career journey. This evolution of power is what we're going to focus on today. So we're going to start our conversation with a workshop, which is really about giving you a chance to figure out what is your best, most authentic self. And how you're going to do that is to tap into what your strengths are. Approaching what you need to be tackling, your relationships, your work, your life, with a strengths-based approach can truly be a game changer for you. So Colleen will be running you through a workshop, and you have handouts on your seats, and we have extras in the back if you didn't get one. Please be sure to participate. We'll then have Frederick come up and run a panel with three rising star millennials. Who better than those that are already upending business as usual to talk to us about their strengths and their networks and their sense of power as self. So we hope you enjoy the conversation. There are microphones in the center aisles. We have conversations for you to engage in, so don't be shy. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Colleen to get us started with the workshop.
Okay, ladies, and you few lucky gentlemen with us here today, I have a question for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your current job satisfaction? Are you a 1, you know, kind of miserable, hard to get out of bed in the morning, no one at work really understands what I'm good at, I need to get out of here? Or are you a 10? I love my job. I'm really in the position that makes the most sense for me. I get to use my strengths most of the time. And even if I wasn't getting paid, I'd probably want to do exactly this. So I invite you to decide in your mind what your number is and hold that in your head today. And as we're sharing with you our stories and the ideas behind living and working from a strengths-based approach, we're hoping you'll get some ideas of how you can ratchet that number up for yourself. I'm really fortunate to say that most of the time I'm a 10. You know, not every day is perfect, but by and large, I find ways to use my strengths pretty regularly. And when a particular task presents itself that demands one of my weaknesses, I have strategies using my strengths of how to work around that weakness. And I'm going to illustrate some of those points for you today. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and how I ended up here today. And in some ways, it started when I was a preteen. When I was in middle school, I had this nifty banana seat bike, and I would hop on that banana seat bike at least once a week and ride to our little local community library, and I would always check out 2 Nancy Drew mysteries and a self-help book. So from really early on, I was really interested in positive psychology. But essentially, my adult professional strength journey started when I received a phone call a number of years ago. There I was, not very far from here, in my pretty nice executive corporate office. And I had a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 3-month-old, and an impending move to London with my husband and his job. And I was the woman who thought she could have it all. If I worked really hard, really used my work ethic strength, I could have a successful career, happy family, good marriage, lots of good friends, etc. And I got a phone call one day, and it was from my cousin Kathy, who, like me, was in her late 30s. And she called to tell me that her sister Kelly and her sister Eileen both had just been diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. And the story was positive from the standpoint that their prognosis was good, they had good care, they had each other. Just wanted to make you aware, Colleen. And there I was, right, the woman who thought she could have it all. And I thought, maybe I should do a self-breast exam when I go home tonight. Well, fast forward to less than 24 hours later, I was with the breast cancer surgeon who said to me, "I'm sorry, Colleen, you have stage 3 breast cancer, and it has spread to your lymph nodes, and we're going to do everything that we can." And I'm very blessed to be standing up here in front of you today to tell you that story, because it happened a number of years ago. I faced multiple surgeries, chemotherapy, and radiation. And I am sure to my core that the overuse of some of my strengths and the use of some of my draining strengths had at least something to do with that situation. And I've made quite a few changes in my life since then. And I hope that none of you have ever had anything like that happen to you. But I also hope that based on what you hear us talk about today, you get some clues as to how you can use your strengths to stay strong, to manage a work-life balance, to deal with those colleagues of yours that are driving you crazy sometimes. And we're going to share some of that with you today. So I need to start with, well, what is a strength? So a strength is something that all of you have, many of them. You perform it well, you get a lot of energy from using it, and you use it frequently. And we have several different kinds of strengths. And all of you have a handout on your chair. I invite you to look at that as I'm talking to you. In the upper right quadrant is the definition of a realized strength. So you all have a realized strength. A realized strength is something you perform well, you get a lot of energy from using, and you use frequently. And our realized strengths are essentially our common sense lens on the world, kind of the tools in our toolkit that we pull out most frequently. And most of the time, our realized strengths serve us really well. But occasionally, we run the risk of overusing or misusing our realized strengths simply because it feels really right to be using those tools in our toolkit. So our goal with our realized strengths is to try and marshal their use. And by marshal, I mean to be aware of when you might be overusing or misusing it, when you're creating barriers for yourself because you're using these tools too much, or you're creating interpersonal conflict with someone else because you're realizing your strengths too much. And on the back of that page is a place where it says, what are your strengths? And I would invite you, as you're hearing me talk about my strengths and the panelists talk about their strengths, to write down your strengths and begin to create your toolkit so some of these concepts that we're talking about, you can think about how to internalize them for yourself. So you all have realized strengths. You also all have unrealized strengths, the upper left quadrant of that chart you see. An unrealized strength is a strength you have that you perform well, you get energy from using, but you're not using it as much for whatever reasons. The context might not be right. So our goal with our unrealized strengths is simply to try and find ways to maximize those. So I invite you to think about, what are your unrealized strengths? And if you have ideas, jot them down. In the bottom right of that quadrant is the definition of a learned behavior. So we all have learned behaviors. And learned behaviors are essentially your draining strengths. So we all have strengths that give us energy, like our realized and unrealized strengths. And we all also have strengths that no matter how many times someone says, you're so good at that, pat on the back, pay raise, more responsibility, you're like, oh, I don't like doing that kind of stuff. And those are your draining strengths. So our goal with those is to try and moderate their use, to not be as dependent on those strengths of ours if we can. And we're going to talk about, with my illustration, how to do that. And then lastly, we all have weaknesses. Simply, we're not good at certain things, and even if we were, we don't really enjoy it. So our goal with our weaknesses is to be aware of them, right? To know if they're manifesting themselves negatively, making you vulnerable in some way, and if they are, then figuring out, with your strengths, how can you work around that? And I'm going to share my strength profile and give you some ideas. So if you turn your eye to the bottom of the page, full disclosure, you see my strengths right there. So in the upper right quadrant, you see the very first strength up there is work ethic. I have a tireless work ethic. I get tremendous amount of energy from this realized strength of working late and working hard. And as you might well imagine, I can overuse that work ethic. And when my alarm clock goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning, I take my daughter to the bus after midnight, 12:30, 1 a.m., and I'm working and working and working because I love to check things off my list. It makes me feel so energized to work really hard, but I know I overuse my work ethic. You also see on my list here, enabler, esteem builder, service. To me, there's absolutely nothing more fulfilling to me personally, thinking about my strengths, than to sit with someone one-on-one in one of my executive coaching situations and help that person come up with ideas to solve their problems or to overcome some challenge in their life, seize opportunities. And if I can help them feel confident leaving me, that's a great opportunity for me to use several of my strengths at one time. And you see order on my list of realized strengths. So I'm the person who cannot go to bed at night with dishes in the sink. I can't leave this morning in a bit of a hurry to get here to this conference with my bed unmade. I just feel so much more energized when I realize my strength of order. In the bottom right, you see my learned behaviors. So I mentioned learned behaviors are our draining strengths. I'm going to call your attention to two of my draining strengths and get you to think about, you know, what are your draining strengths? So two of mine are planful and reconfiguration. So that means I'm good at, get drained by it, but I'm good at planning. I'm good at reconfiguring, things change. You know, how can I reorder things to make sure that we're marching in the right direction? And those strengths have served me well, but they've also drained me. So I made mention, of course, of my breast cancer scenario. Right after that happened, when I was given the second chapter, another opportunity, I decided I needed to make some pretty big changes in my career. Because I was successful, I liked what I was doing, but I was doing a lot of planning and reconfiguring. And so I made a shift out of the corporate life into a job where I could be doing mostly enabling, esteem building, service. And I love what I do. And another example of planful reconfiguration is two learned behaviors that I made mention that I had an impending move to London when I was diagnosed with cancer. Well, it didn't happen at that time for obvious reasons. Fast forward to about 7 years later, and it came up again. So I guess it was in the cards, meant to be. But at that time, I had 4 children. Two older ones going into high school, kicking and screaming, as you might well imagine, why we're moving away from Boston into London, of all places, far away from my friends. And I spent my entire first year in that planful and reconfiguration mode, right? Trying to find the Cheerios, the dry cleaners, my way around driving on the wrong side of the road to play dates, etc. And I had given up my career. But as soon as I started thinking about, I was miserable. You know, how can I get myself back again? As soon as I started working again, rebuilding my business in that country, finding clients I could enable, esteem build, service, the authentic, happy, energized Colleen was back again. My weaknesses. I highlight one, courage. So as you might well imagine, it takes a fair amount of courage to be standing up here talking to all of you. And courage is one of my weaknesses. So what do I have to do? Before I come here today, I have to think, all right, this is not about facing my fears. It's about enabling all of you, hopefully building your esteem, servicing you. And if I can redefine, sort of reshape, refocus, or smother that courage with my strengths, which all of you can do, you can smother or partner your weaknesses with some of your strengths, then you stand a much better chance of being successful and energized. Because we all, from time to time, have to work around our weaknesses. And then lastly, I call your attention to my unrealized strengths. So you see on that list, mission, which is really all about wanting to have a life of purpose and doing things that are really important and valued. Staying centered, trying to be zen. And as I think about 2016, I know that if I realize my strength and centered, if I stick with my Headspace meditation app that has been kind of put in the back burner the last few weeks busy with the holidays, or I stick with my yoga class that I've not been doing regularly, then I'm going to feel much more successful, happy, energized, stressless, etc. I need to realize my centered strength. And if I find more opportunities like this to speak, where I'm doing things that are purposeful and meaningful, I'll fulfill that mission strength. So that is my strength profile. Hopefully that you have thought about what your strengths might be in each of those different quadrants as you heard me talk. On the back of that page is information, which I'm happy to answer questions at the end, about how you find out your strengths, different tools you can use. I love one called the R2 Strengths Profiler, which is what I use to talk today and what the panelists use. And just in closing, before I invite the group up here, I just want to read to you a quote, which, given that I'm a self-help junkie, I think sort of sums it up. And this is from Alex Linley, who is the CEO of a UK organization. That tool, with all the unusual spellings, like behaviors and centered, is a UK tool. And Alex is the CEO of that company. And he says, when people understand the impact and significance of working from their strengths, the shift is huge. And once the realization is there, it cannot be reversed, and the change has begun. I invite all of you today, hopefully, to really think hard about what your strengths are. I hope you all leave here today with sort of fire in your belly and a curiosity of what are my strengths? I need to figure them out. And just to illustrate more of this way of thinking, how to use it in your career, I'm going to invite Frederick and the panel to come up and share more about strengths. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So for those of you standing as well, there are more seats over here if you want to sit down. Thank you, Colleen. I think it's fascinating just how we can use our strengths to be more powerful, more engaged at work, and also have more fun and feel more fulfilled. And I think that these are the types of things that also will come out in this panel discussion. And during this discussion, I will try to focus on a few themes. And one of the first themes here is about control. And there are some studies that show that the millennials, in a sense, feel like they are in more control. They want to be in control. Control is related to power as well. So the first question I have to the panelists is how we use our strengths to feel like you are in control, and in a way relate that to power as well.
Well, sure. I feel like I get my personal power from my ability to learn. Prior to taking this strengths assessment, when people would ask me what I enjoyed about my career, what I oftentimes would say is the variety of what I got to do. I work at a think tank at State Street, so one day I get to research, one day I get to read, one day I get to work with a team, the next day I'm presenting, and I really enjoy being able to do these different things and feel this learning experience. So I guess I really shouldn't have been surprised that in the Strengths Finder, I had strengths in growth, in curiosity, and in drive, which I think relate really well to this tendency to want to learn and to have variety in my career. So I would say to the audience that if you haven't already done this already, you might consider thinking about your own careers. What is it that you, and writing down, what are the aspects of your career that you really enjoy? And then focusing in more on doing those, because you're going to be better at that, and you're going to enjoy your job more as well.
Yeah, building off of Sean, I'm currently in a sales position at State Street right now, and one of my strengths is personal responsibility. So sales is all about numbers, right? So we have metrics we need to meet every day, and I find my own personal power in my personal responsibility, knowing that I have control every day on making sure I'm making those outbound calls, smiling and dialing, as I like to say, to the financial advisors. But that gives me that feeling of control and knowing that my efforts can, knowing that I'm doing my own job, is very satisfying when it comes to that. You know, I think a big theme today has been I'm starting off early in my career. I just graduated about a year and a half ago. But making sure you're doing your job the best that you can when you're first starting off, before you want to make that next step, before you're ready to move on. And I think that's advice that I really value.
Very good. So I want to make this is a workshop. I want to have a lot of engagement here from the audience. So if I'm asking if there are any comments that you have on using strengths here to be in control, we want to hear it. And we want to hear your questions also throughout. And given that I'm the moderator, I may even pick on a few people in the audience, if that's okay with you here. So not now, but I will. This is a warning. So the next, in fact, why don't we show just a sign of, raise your hand if you feel like you're using your strengths every day to be more in control. That's good. About a third of you. And I think that you know, there's been a lot of discussion at this conference around strengths, and I'm hoping that this panel discussion is one where we can say, how can we really make it actionable to use those strengths to your power? So hopefully that third goes up. The next theme I have is around career progression and also about ongoing learning. And there are also some studies that show that millennials say that this kind of ongoing learning is particularly important. So, I want to ask our panelists, you know, how do you think about using your strengths as part of your ongoing learning?
Thank you, Frederick. Hi, everyone. I have recently, obviously being a millennial as well, I'm starting new in my career, and my background was that I competed in two Olympic Games, so I dived in Great Britain, doing the 10-meter platform event in Beijing, and retired after competing in London 2012. Thank you. Alongside that, I was doing my PhD in astrophysics, so I had a complete... Can anyone spot my manager in the room? So I've now had a complete career change, and it was to realign my strengths after retiring from diving, that I'm now in finance and starting out in finance and going through this new evolution. And what I learned throughout my experience was I value the fact that you learn from your mistakes more than you do your successes. And you hear everyone always talking to you about how you need to learn from your mistakes, but they never really tell you how to go about doing that and how you can use your strengths to do that. So I learned this lesson very early on in my career. I just missed out on the 2004 Olympic Games. After the trials we had in Great Britain, my national performance director came up to me. I was like devastated, bawling my eyes out, because I just trained for 10 years for this one competition. I missed the Olympic Games. And he said, "Stacey, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you." He said, "You learn more from your mistakes than you do your successes." So at the time, I didn't want to know, and I thought he was kind of twisting the knife in the wound. But afterwards, I went back, and I made sure I used the support structure I had in sport around me to actually get benefit from his comments and learn from them. Now, translating that into the corporate world, I feel like it's very important, first of all, to learn from your mistakes, but you don't necessarily have the support structure around you that you do in elite sport. So how do you do that? You have to use your network to tap into the people around you to generate that feedback. To get that feedback, some people aren't comfortable with giving feedback, so you have to make sure that you look to your strengths and say, well, I know this person would feel comfortable over a coffee, or this person is more official, so I have to ask them in an email. So using your strengths, and your one of mine is awareness, to read people differently and draw my network to actually get the feedback I need to progress through my career.
That's fascinating. I'm not sure I want to follow that. I guess I'll talk to a little different piece of what you asked, which was about development and how millennials want to develop in their careers. Because I think, and this is really speaking directly to those of you in the room who are millennials, I think coming into our careers, we oftentimes expect that our boss or our team is going to push us toward those development opportunities or tell us that we should be doing this to develop ourselves. But I would urge you to think about how you can develop your own self through the resources at your disposal. So I'll give you an example. Public speaking. Actually, I'll take a poll. How many of you here really enjoy public speaking? Okay. And how many of you, it's like your most mortal fear? Okay. Well, I'm actually naturally a bit more towards the mortal fear side of things. Actually, spotlight is my number one learned behavior. So how was I going to deal with this? Because I knew for my job I was going to have to do some speaking. So I went and joined Toastmasters, which is an organization where you learn different speaking skills. You do 10 speeches to start off with, and one you'll focus on your body language, another on eye contact with the audience, another on vocal variety. And so that was an opportunity to develop myself that I found really valuable. I still don't know if I would have stuck with it, though, had it not been for the people in Toastmasters, because, again, being in the spotlight isn't something I enjoy, but what I do enjoy is relationship deepening. That's one of my strengths as well. And going out for drinks with those folks, connecting with them, I really enjoyed that aspect of it, and it made it more comfortable for me to build up that skill.
Very good. So I want to come back to the audience here. So a few key things that I heard both from Stacey and Sean. One is just that learning from mistakes and using your strengths as part of that. And then it's also about using the network that you have as part of, kind of learning and your ongoing education. And again, using your strengths for that. Any reflections from the audience in terms of, I'm thinking of that network, really using your network around you for, advancing your strengths, feeling more fulfilled. Great. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? What was that? Repeat the answers that you have a network of roughly five people that you work closely with, and that you are always thinking of what can you possibly do better within this network at work. Thank you. And so let's thank you. Anyone else want to comment? Any questions for the panelists in terms of leveraging, you know, kind of learning from your mistakes and also using your network?
Anybody feel uncomfortable with the idea of networking? Yeah. I have to say that, you know, that was the number one thing I was told, right? You have to build your network. You got to work those connections. And to me, that's something that I feel, you know, have felt somewhat uncomfortable about, like asking from people, right? It feels like asking. But I think that, at least for me, it's been helpful to reframe network into more of a giving, of a service to the other folks in your network. You know, sending out research that you find interesting, or articles, or, you know, what would this person benefit from? Here's somebody who's interested in socially responsible investing, and here's somebody else who's got an expertise here. Can we put them together and create this conversation and do something that's really valuable? And I think that is that we need to change our perception of network to be something a little bit more positive.
Good. I agree. And you kept sending me a lot of things, and now I realize we have a network. Very good. Thank you. So the next theme is one around change. And millennials arguably are going through more change than other age cohorts. And in a way, we want to turn that into a strength of driving change and be feeling comfortable with change. So again, I want to ask you, in terms of, you know, how do we use our strengths to, you know, to cope with change and to, in a way, drive change?
Yeah, thanks, Frederick. So like I mentioned before, I graduated about a year and a half ago, and I think like a lot of young people out of college, they don't really know what they want to do with their lives. It's a little scary. It's a little overwhelming. So I was lucky enough to get an opportunity to come in for an interview at State Street in July of 2014, so just a couple months after, and I got the job, which was great, fantastic, but I had not had any experience in financial services. I majored in communication. I remember the night before my interview, I was sitting at home on the kitchen table with my parents, and we're like, what is an ETF? What is a mutual fund? It was like a research project. but... you know, we got through that. But so here we are. But we had to take two licensing exams. Some of you might be familiar with the Series 7 and the Series 63. My manager, who's out here right now, handed me this lovely 500-page book, and it was the thickest thing I've ever seen. And I knew I was in for it then, and I knew I kind of had to tap into my strengths, like both of these guys have talked about. And I knew my personal responsibility, knowing that I had a job and I had to, you know, get the job done, as Bill Belichick says, do your job. That was my job at the time. And I think another strength of mine is gratitude. And I think I felt so fortunate to be in such a great position, you know, early in my career that really drove me to kind of, you know, get the job done, essentially pass those tests and move forward. And I think another aspect is kind of paying it forward. There were so many people that helped me along the way. I could count on two hands. You know, I don't think I'd be here at all without them. So, you know, we've had 20 new people start since last year on our internal sales desk. And I feel it's like innate responsibility to give back to them what I received. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Yeah, I agree with Jackie, and it's nice how both Sean and Jackie have touched upon the fact that when you see a situation as intimidating, you can use your strengths to draw upon and cover up those weaknesses that you might underlie inherently. So one thing that I used when I was looking to transition in my career was I think it's already been mentioned, actually, that what I actually enjoyed doing, like With diving, I enjoyed like the competitive side of things, the fast-paced, whereas with astrophysics, I enjoyed the analytical side, the actually really thinking about the details. I think they call it an incubator here. So I lived this double life, and I knew that when I went later in my career, I wanted to merge those two together. So that's why I chose finance, because it picked upon the competitive, the fast-paced side of things, but it also drew upon my analytical strengths in that sense. So I feel a lot more fulfilled, and I didn't have this. I don't have this void of feeling that half of me is missing when I'm in my day-to-day career. So for those of half of you, or was it a third, that put their hand up and said they feel like they use their strengths, maybe consider doing something outside of work, and that might make you utilize the strengths that maybe your job doesn't work and might make you happier as an overall person. So I would definitely suggest that, because that's how I got through my PhD in astrophysics.
I think that's a really good point in terms of, you know, sometimes we can leverage our strengths and use those strengths at work, and sometimes we just have to use them outside of work, and finding that balance is important. I also like how you brought up both of you in terms of, you know, using your strengths can be a sense of fulfillment as well, and it makes things more fun. It's natural, but I like the work that Colleen does on this, and that you really tie kind of the fun and what inspires you, what invigorates you, with also your strengths. Any comments? Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I've tried here.
Say personally, the number one thing that I want from a manager is empowerment. I want somebody who lets me go out there and take a risk, but who's also there to catch me when I sometimes, make a mistake or fail. So I guess it's about having that empowerment and autonomy to really let me explore what my strengths are and what my passions and interests are. And hopefully do a better job for the team that way.
Can I just add, I think in my perspective, I do definitely agree with Sean. I also think honesty is something that would come in there as well. Like, I've been told in the past, especially studying astrophysics, Stacey, you're going into too much detail here. You don't need this amount of detail. Like, just the maybe the correction when you start to overuse a strength. So if you know the strengths of the guys that you're managing, and you know their tendencies and which ones they tend to favor, I feel like you're more productive as a person if you use a more diverse array of your strengths. So my supervisor in the past pointed that out to me, and now I have to make sure I use my other awareness check when I do a task and say, okay, which strength do I need here? Do I need to go into so much detail, or do I need to do this quickly, or which one is the best one to help me be more efficient in getting the task done?
Yeah, building off of Stacey, I think a lot of millennials look for feedback a lot. So good or bad, I think we always want to know how we can improve what we did well to get to that next level. And I think across the board, I mean, with my colleagues, I think that's a huge part that we look at in a manager.
That's terrific. I'm just going to repeat the question that you had a very nice, colorful version. That was very helpful. Thank you. But it's about, in a way, saying that if you're kind of on a playing field almost with colleagues, there are some things that they have that you don't. And in this case, it was about education. You didn't have the corporate finance or the finance education. How do you overcome that with your strengths? How do you show those strengths? Am I getting that?
Yeah.
Good. So I only ask the questions.
So that's a good point, and I've definitely felt some of that coming from a completely the same background as you, astrophysics. I like to think that the way I would see it is I try to draw on some of my strength to see it in a different light. So you're in a room, much like you're the only female sat in a room, you have a different perspective. When I've been sat in meetings and everyone's talking about finance and financial terms, I feel like sometimes I have that outsider's perspective looking in that maybe no one in the room can see at that point in time, whether it's because that was ingrained in them so young that that's just the way you do things and you never really question it. I've been very much used as kind of a sanity check in a lot of my work that I've been doing to make sure that what they're doing makes sense like quantitatively as well as strategically. So I think that rather than think of it in that perspective, try and think it like how your uniqueness benefits you as well.
Yeah, I didn't major in finance either. And certainly the transition, kind of learning the markets, learning products, was definitely a struggle. I would say find your niche somewhere, whether, you know, I'm not sure what type of job you're in, but if it's product related, find your niche somewhere and maybe become an expert in that. And you can share that maybe with onboarding new team members or something like that. I know, when we do have new team members, we had 20, like I mentioned. I think I kind of add to them by helping them with the transition, whether it's giving them notes, giving them, I guess, passing along what people gave to me, essentially. Share the wealth, right?
I think that's both of you bring up really good points, particularly. I mean, that's a great point in terms of, you know, finding that niche, you know, that where you can be the expert. You know, you are competing. In fact, you're better than everyone else in that one area. I think that's really powerful. Other questions from the audience? We have two right next to each other. Do you want to repeat the question? I can do that. So the question is really how we can kind of empower millennials. Let's see if I get this right. Empower millennials, but also without kind of feeling a sense of entitlement for these individuals. Or actually, can you repeat that one more time?
All right, I have two thoughts on that. So how do you interact with other generations without seeming entitled? I would say that I've had an interaction actually fairly recently that was with somebody significantly older than me, significantly more experienced than me. What's that? Wiser than me, yes, exactly. this person, he and I presented together, and I had, you know, I was trying to project confidence, because as a millennial, sometimes you feel like people are, you know, judging you a little bit, but it came across as arrogance, and I got that feedback. So I thought a lot about this, like how can I present myself in a way that I can be respected and speak with confidence but not come across as saying that I'm better or smarter or you know, whatever than people that I'm working with. And one of the things I've recently implemented is to sometimes make a little joke or make a little, just kind of mention the fact that I'm a millennial here because that disarms people and you know, opens them up to, okay, so yeah, so this person's acknowledging, yeah, they've only been in the industry for 6 years, but you know, they're working hard, they're offering whatever perspective they have to offer. So that's how I'm trying to deal with that problem.
I'll just add to Sean, like I think the honesty there is important, like where you've come from, like where you've been. But I also think the gratitude, like showing them, like even though that you're coming in and you're trying to move up the ladder quickly, I think that you still have to take the time to say, you know, we appreciate what you've done to get where you are. Like, I think one of my favorite quotes is from Einstein, and he said that the generation now, you're standing on the shoulders of giants, because I feel like in the terms of knowledge, that's where we are. We stand on the shoulders of those who go before us. So if we don't thank those who are like the older generation, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, I would agree with both you guys. I think just kind of staying humble and realizing where you are in your career. And, you know, if it's a manager and they have a lot more experience, understanding that, but also, you know, backing it up with your hard work, et cetera. So.
Thank you. There was another question, right? Yep. Do you want to stand? Since one of my weaknesses, I guess, was to repeat the question. Do you want to stand up? And I thought that was really powerful. Yeah. There's a microphone right there. Thank you.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is that I was really impressed when Jackie mentioned that one of her strengths is gratitude. And I recall that I think Cicero said that gratitude is the mother of all virtue. And I think really it's what makes cohesive and makes a teamwork. Because in one sense, of course, you have to, you know, work with other people, but it's also this underlying gratitude because you help each other and you work on a project or whatever you want to do together. So I thought it was so, I was so impressed, so I just wanted to
thank you.
Say that.
Thank you. We have more questions. So it may be, is it one more question, Kelly? Yep, so please use the microphone. We have a question over there. Can you use the microphone?
What strength as a manager can we use to motivate you and make you happy at your work, fulfilled, and successful? Think of you and think of all your friends. What can we do? What strengths can we use?
Can I start? I'm going to throw one out there, courage. I think that sometimes it's important for a manager to take the courage to tell you the truth. So I think that ties in with honesty there, and the courage to also trust us so that we will get the job done. I think these guys have spoke to that as well, so I think courage would definitely be one of mine.
Okay. Thank you.
I think for me, feedback would be huge. I think it's sometimes hard for a manager, for anyone to give positive or negative feedback, but I think for a lot of us, I think I speak on behalf of a lot of my colleagues, that we want to know how we're progressing. We want to know what it's going to take to get to the next step, and I think that's pretty valuable.
Thanks.
I agree. I think we have time for one more question. Then that means I get to ask the question, so thank you. So the last theme is about prioritization for your career and your career evolution. You know, there are so many things you can do. How do you think of using your strengths to help prioritize that progression?
I'm terrible at that. Order is it's my second weakness. So organization, prioritization. That's something that I really need to work on, so I'm not sure I can offer a great perspective there.
So Sean, do you mind working this through? How could we rearrange maybe some of your strengths to cover up that weakness that you have?
What is my passion? Yeah, interestingly, gratitude is also one that I share, and service is another thing that I really care about. So if I can tie what I'm doing and mission. So if I can tie what I'm doing to a broader perspective, a broader mission, something that really matters in the world, that's really important to me. However, I like to just kind of take everything and go at it, you know. So prioritizing around that is still something that I don't know.
That makes sense.
The other suggestion, by the way, that Colleen made is outsourcing your weaknesses. So find some. Any organized people here that want to work together? That's right. Yeah, my colleagues are actually quite organized, and they keep me in line, thankfully. And so that's another thing is understanding what your weaknesses are. Everybody has them. So why not work with people on your team who have those strengths and let them give you some guidance? And I guess that is probably what I do.
Very good. Thank you very much. We're out of time. Really appreciate your participation. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.